we're sitting in the lower ninth ward, which was clearly the poster child for Katrina, and this week is the ninth anniversary. When you think about the last 9 years and what happened, like, what comes to mind? Where are we at 9 years later?
9 years later is the new Orleans. I think there's been, like, a lot of wholesale changes that have gone on when it comes to, like, where people are living and where people have been moved around to. And that's not just moving around as in moving to out of town. But a lot of folks moved out of town and didn't necessarily find it to be a greener pasture and have had to move back. So folks that had been traditionally in the ninth ward or the seventh ward or eighth ward or wherever, you know, had to move to other places. I also think, like, gentrification has changed a lot of that. Like, you know, a lot of folks think that that's some kind of mythical concept, but, like, it really is real. And if you look at, like, some areas that were pretty much super low income, ghetto hood, like, they're not even like that anymore. You know, you have some really nice blocks. I think the Marigny is probably one of the prime examples of that because, you know, they had a lot of home ownership, but it was kind of low value properties, you know, and now it's nothing to see a property go for $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 around there. So, you know, people that wanted to move back to some of those areas, you know, obviously were not able to and had to figure out a new way of life. So I think that's kind of one thing, like people moving to different areas has made a change. Education is different now, obviously, with the explosion of charter schools locally. You know, when I was coming up, and it's ironic where we sit now, I'm a couple of blocks away from where I went to high school, and I went to Holy Cross. You know, it was really the hood back here, and it was one of the, you know, better schools in the city. And, you know, before Katrina, there were only a handful of good options, you know, especially when it came to high school type education, or even elementary for that matter. You had to kind of get into a parochial school to get a good education. And now, like, the playing fields have been kind of leveled. So, you know, that kind of old school way of thinking has changed. You can go to a public school and get a great education, I believe, now. So education has changed. And I also think it's changed on, like the post-education standpoint, because I think, like, a lot of kids that make it through high school now kind of realize that there is more value in the college scene, especially with, you know, this whole digital world we live in, where I think a lot of kids move on and try to get education and try to figure out a way that they can better themselves and kind of break away from the old New Orleans, let's say. And I think education quite often is a ticket out. So that's a big deal. That's changed. Obviously, I guess we could spring from the digital standpoint to this digital tax credits and movie tax credits has, you know, pushed a lot of money and attention to New Orleans. And it's really, I think, become a magnet to folks from around the country to come plant some seeds here, buy property. I mean, you gotta think about it. If you're from New York or if you're from California or one of those big places, and, you know, where the norm is to buy a house for $200,000 low end, you could buy a block here for $200,000. So, you know, it became attractive to a lot of folks to move here, not only to plant some seeds, buy some property, but also have viable work too. I think that's another part of the new Orleans, is that, you know, we've become kind of the new epicenter of the country for a lot of reasons, that being one with the Hollywood South and, you know, jobs and movies, but also, like, with the digital wave, you know, like Turbo Squid is really taking advantage of it and use it to their benefit. And I think other, you know, companies like that figure they might as well take advantage of it. You see these hackathons now that were never a part of what was going on here before. You know, you have all these pitch meetings and stuff like that. That's, like, that's progress. The thing I always kind of worry about, though, with progress is, like, do you lose sight of, like, the unique factors of the city? You know, like, the things that really made New Orleans so unique. Like, and you see some of them changing, but you also have a whole faction of people that fight really hard to make sure that we don't become plastic. and don't become, you know, so homogenized like other cities where we don't have the character that we once had and become, and was such an alluring factor of the tourists and folks in general just to come through here.
One statistic that sticks in my head, and I may be a little bit off, but somebody told me that 80% of the city before that storm hadn't left for more than, you know, like a short trip. People didn't move around traditionally. And then that storm hits and there's a mass displacement, right? I mean, as you were saying, a lot of people had to leave. What do you think that did to the old New Orleans?
Well, I guess anytime you move that amount of people out, you're going to lose stuff. And some of it being physical, you know, people lost, you know, items. People lost pictures and photos. People lost buildings that they congregated towards that had been traditional spots. But then, you know, you got some of the people that carried those memories or customs or things with them that passed away that was never recorded. And then you had a lot of people that just never came back.
Do you know people?
A lot. Like, a majority of my family didn't come back. Like, a number of them actually moved to Birmingham, to Houston, to Dallas, California, Atlanta. And, you know, they started over. And for a lot of folks, starting over was a good thing because, you know, we're a pretty passionate group of people in New Orleans. And, you know, people from New Orleans are sometimes eccentric. People from New Orleans are very original and unique. And, you know, going to a new place that doesn't have any flavor, you know, you're adding a lot of flavor to the whole equation. And, you know, some folks just excelled in these other environments, so they had no reason to come back. There's a huge amount of people that only come back for holidays. That's it. They come back for the traditional holidays, maybe to just reminisce or maybe come to Mardi Gras, and then they're back to where they were. You know, a lot of folks didn't come back because they felt like, you know, criminal activity was lower in these other places. People stayed in those areas sometimes because they felt like job and business opportunities were better. You know, a lot of folks in New Orleans pre-Katrina kind of felt like they were boxed in, you know, and didn't have really a whole lot of opportunity for growth because either they felt like there weren't a lot of jobs or they weren't equipped for the jobs that were here. So, you know, out there was a level playing field and a lot of folks stayed. So some of that culture went with them.
What are the phone conversations like when your family call you? What do they want to know or what do you ask them?
Well, 9 years later, it's not a whole lot of questions unless it's some bad stuff that makes national news, and we always seem to have something like that, whether it be some political corruption or like some crazy crime spree or something like that. Or even sometimes it's for the positive. Let me adjust that because, you know, when some of these stats and stuff come out, you know, we've been really fortunate to have gotten so much attention from Katrina, where a lot of reporters that came down or writers that came down had a unique relationship with the city when they came, or they felt a certain type of way when they came. So they continued to check back in or continued to revisit to see progress or lack thereof. So I think that was like a really good thing because we've continued to have really good stories written about New Orleans, or people actually feeling like, well, some of the stuff I probably got away with before, I might not be able to get away with because these people keep checking on it. So sometimes, you know, family members will call you about that, or some of the, you know, the different things that are changing. You know, like there's just a lot of changes here. So some folks, they'll ask about it from afar, but like a lot of them are content where they are now.
You can grab that if you need to. Also, you know, why is it important to commemorate this? I mean, this is the 9th. Next year will be the 10th, which I'm sure will be a big deal. Why is it important to, you know, there's going to be a march in a second line? Why is that important?
I think the commemorative part of it is important for, like, a couple of reasons. For people that really lost family members to the floods and to the devastation, like, you know, a lot of those folks really feel like it's never been properly addressed. That there was a lot of lives lost, not just property damage. And for a lot of those folks, you know, they were in the Superdomes or they didn't have, you know, proper medications or health stuff, or, you know, there weren't enough hospitals for them to get to, so they passed or died or moved. And, you know, a lot of folks still feel a certain kind of way about that stuff. They feel like the governmental agencies locally, statewide, nationally, you know, were kind of forsaking them, you know what I'm saying, and stuff that we kind of thought was our natural stuff we were supposed to get as Americans, you know. A lot of people lost a lot of lives, and, you know, you still hear stories of people that say we lost more than they actually say we did, you know. So I think that's really important. And then I think the commemorative part is important, too, because I don't think you can just forget about what happened, and I don't think, like, it was just a natural storm. Like, I think it's important to still commemorate it because some of these issues were, like, man-made, I really believe, whether it be physical, whereas maybe, you know, like these levees that had trash in them, you know, were broke, or if they were breached, you know, that was something that, you know, somebody stole a lot of money from at some point, and, like, their direct reason why people died. And then I think it's also important because you just don't want to forget about, like, the old New Orleans.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know really how to explain that, but...
Well, you're reminding me of, you know, with the earthquake in Haiti. People didn't die in Haiti because the earthquake was huge. They died because they have an awful building code.
Mm-hmm. Right,
like,
right.
Buildings collapse on people because it's a government that doesn't function like it's supposed to.
You're made of straw.
So you're right in pointing that out. I think that's a very good, you know, point to make about the storm.
And then I guess if you're from New Orleans, like, it'll always be a big deal. It's a part of your life. You know, I just remember leaving and it was like feeling like it was Armageddon or something. You know what I'm saying? Because you could lose a girlfriend, you could get your car stolen, or whatever. But, like, I really felt then like I had completely lost my city. I thought we'd never be back. It just seemed like it really was the end-all for New Orleans then. So I think sometimes you keep those things in perspective. But one other part of the commemoration thing is, I think, to really continue to maybe apply pressure sometimes to, like, some of the agencies to let them know that it's not all good down here. Like, there's still a lot of people that are living below the poverty line, you know. And it's kind of crazy to hear that when so much money has been pumped in the city for various reasons. There's still areas that have not been redone, you know, which is really a sad fact 9 years later, especially Ninth Ward. And there are people that are trying to work toward getting it together, don't get me wrong, but there's still a lot of stuff that has not been properly fixed, and that's kind of sad. Like, you know, you even have, like, all of that money came in, they couldn't, like, get the infrastructure of our sewer system together. Like, really? Like, you know, it's kind of like...
Streets still flood. No,
you still have... I mean, I'm looking in front of me at a huge mat. It's like a little swimming pool in the middle of the street, but it's a pothole, you know? It's like these things still are happening, so I think it's still great to have the awareness on it. But next year is going to be a huge year. There's going to be a lot of cameras focused on the city. I also think, like, in the next 12 months, some of these things that I'm talking about are going to get fixed before the big cameras come. I will tell you that.
That'll be interesting.
It's going to happen. Watch. These potholes are going to get fixed. They're going to fix the sewer system. Some of these, they're going to finish all of these blighted houses off. They're going to do something, sell, fix, tear down. Like, because there's going to be a lot of cameras here for that 10-year anniversary. And they're going to be doing stories on, has New Orleans progressed? And I think that's kind of a sad little story, like, that it would take something as monumental as that to make people actually get the job done. You know, there was a bunch of money that was sitting kind of for a long time, millions and millions of dollars, based upon the fact that the mayor and the governor didn't get along, and then we had a Democratic president and a Republican governor, and these dollars just got tied up and were sitting in limbo when people could have been reestablishing their lives here.
Are you going to say anything on the radio on Friday in particular, or? Are you thinking about, like, do you tend to say something on the anniversary?
Oh, I always do. Even last night on my 504 radio show, like, there's different things that I do. Like, I did a tribute with, like, all artists that had done Katrina-related songs. You know, I did a segment that was all about that because it was their viewpoint. It was their perspective of what they saw that happened and was continuing to happen post-Katrina. I would definitely say stuff. I'll be at the march. I'm going to be one of the hosts for the end point over at Hunter's Field. But I definitely always have a piece that I'll say, and it changes every year because the things continue to change. What am I going to say? I don't know yet.
Yeah, but you're thinking about it.
Absolutely.
Well, and you've done this second line every year, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's, how did you get that idea? I mean, it's kind of obvious to do a second line in New Orleans, so obviously it's a good choice. But, you know, how did that come about, and how has the event changed over the years?
I can't take credit for starting it. There was some community leaders, as well as Cess 4-5 specifically, that decided that it was very important. He's from the Ninth Ward. So it held a certain spot in his being. And then his brother was one of the guys that was a poster child on CNN and everywhere, where he was with his kid in front of this military line. He just finished writing a book about it, where he had to get past them to get to the bus, and his son is dying in his arms. So, like, they had, a lot of personal tragedy that happened with it, or personal experience, and they were in the Superdome. But I've been a part of it from jump because, like, you know, just what I do from a radio perspective and being kind of a trusted name and brand in the city, and I'm all the way New Orleans, it was something that I didn't mind lending whatever I can to it. And it has changed in a variety of ways. I mean, it was much more well attended initially. And, you know, I guess with anything, sometimes the luster kind of wears off with these things. You know, some people have, like, this Katrina overload. Like, they don't want to hear about Katrina anymore. I witnessed that and hear that a lot. But for others, like, you know, it'll never be something that goes away. And I guess it depends on where you're at, you know, as a person and what you've lost, you know what I'm saying? So the turnout has not been as good as it had been initially, but I think there's still a lot of energy and passion with the people that are there. I mean, also, you know, so for a number of these years, obviously it's been during work days and people are trying to get their lives back together, and it's during the day, and it's always falls on the day of Katrina, not necessarily a weekend where it would be more people involved. But it's kind of been that way with all of them, because there have been a number of different Katrina marches, and there was Hands Around the Dome and all of these different things that folks did. And I guess people maybe lose focus, you know, on how serious this storm was and some of the factors that caused it to be so bad, not just nature.
Anything you want to add?
Why do you think New Orleans matters to this country? I mean, kind of looking at everything you've said.
New Orleans, I've been around the country. I've been to different places. You know, I've been out of the country. I just feel like there's no place like New Orleans. And that may sound cliche, and I'm from here, but, like, I've been to a lot of other places, and there's nowhere that has, like, the energy that's here. There's nowhere that has, to me, the people, you know, whether you like them or hate them, like here. There's nowhere that has, you know, the musical culture. There's nowhere that has the history that New Orleans has. And it's kind of like, I call it Planet New Orleans a lot of the times, because, like, we're just off on our own thing, like, independent of the rest of the country sometimes. And it's just a certain way of life that, you know, it is kind of, I guess, years and years of history combined with, you know, this has become a melting pot for America. You know, people come from all over, and it's a black hole. It's like you come and you stay, or you're ready to leave the next day. It's kind of, it's love or hate thing. And a lot of people come here and never leave. Like, you know, we have, like, what, 6 or 7 colleges here? And a lot of them kids, you know, they figure they're going to do 4, and they're gone, but they never leave. Like, they just have this love affair with the city. I think we've added so many things to the country, from a musical heritage, from a culinary heritage, and just so many unique people that we've added to the fabric of the country that were raised here. Like, it's big. I mean, another thing is, like, we got the river in front of us. The port is important. Like, you can't, and this is outside of the heritage thing, but just from a financial thing, like, everything comes through here, you know, without a huge, I guess, bridgeway, you know, everything got to come in and go out, you know, it's a big deal. Like, New Orleans is, it has to stay. We can't go anywhere. They need us. For a variety of reasons. I think I'll leave it at that.